I'm Alan Lytle, 91.3 WUKY News. It is not a stretch to say that everything in our lives is imbued with science. Just the fact that we can turn on the water and drink it and not get sick is a tribute to scientific principles. There's a program in Lexington coming up later this month called Everything is Science, and we've got a preview in this week's edition of Dr. Greg Davis on Medicine. Dr. Greg recently sat down with Lou Hirsch, a plant pathologist in the University of Kentucky's College of Agriculture, Food, and Environment, and UK College of Pharmacy graduate student Lauren Weaver. They're both talking about Lexington's upcoming Everything is Science Festival, which gets underway Monday, February 24th in various locations all across town.
Well, Lauren and Lou, thank you very much for coming and talking with me today. We've been hearing a lot lately about this phenomenon called Everything is Science in Lexington. Can you tell our listeners a little bit more about what that is?
So Everything is Science is a citywide science festival. It's family friendly and free. So we're hosting it one night for every night of the week, and we're going to have it at local breweries. There's going to be food there, and what we designed this for is that we want science to be approachable. So we're going to have speakers coming from around the state that are going to come in and talk about these various things about how science colors everything that we do, and they're going to be talking in a very approachable way. So a lot of people can be very off-put by science because they think of us as people in these white lab coats, but we really want to gear this as something that is very, very, very easily digestible. So very easily approachable and really fun. So that's kind of our goal.
And, you know, something I always talk with my trainees about is, sure, we deal with arcane scientific principles at times, but really none of them are such that we can't really easily explain them to high school, college-educated folks, right? I mean, is that sort of what this is about, is just making science more accessible and letting folks know how it plays a role in their everyday life?
Yeah, Greg, absolutely. And what you said in terms of your trainees was, I think, more an ideal than a reality in a lot of cases. I think scientists, as a field, or just practitioners in any discipline, often do ourselves a disservice by not being able to clearly communicate what we do to members of the general public who don't understand our vocabulary or our processes, because we're almost all the time surrounded by other people with our same knowledge base and skill set, when we talk to each other very differently than we should be talking to other people who don't know what we do on a daily basis. And just like Lauren said, the real goal, the purpose, the foundation of this event is to take scientists out of their labs, or artists out of their studios, or practitioners, you know, off the street, and bring them in and let them just share what they do to people who may not have any understanding of their area, or may not even have any appreciation of it. And that's one of the real benefits of this program, is because it's 3 hours a night, for every night for a week. It's organized by color, but the planning committee, which Lauren's on, allowed the individual evening coordinators to have wide latitude to do whatever they wanted and to invite whatever speakers they wanted. So if you attend, you will hear things that you probably would never, if it was a TV channel, you just keep flipping. But it's really, really interesting, and you're going to be there in a very relaxed environment at a bar or a restaurant. There's food, there's drinks, and there's, you know, professionals talking about what they do in a way that is just understandable. And also, one thing that I think is a selling point of this event is that there's no PowerPoints. And I know for sure in academia, and I think in a lot of different environments, we're just crushed to death with PowerPoint presentations. And they're really not very fun when you think about it. So we're having scientists and artists and others bring things, tactile things that we can touch and feel and experience to really integrate the audience into understanding more about science rather than just some sage on a stage talking to people.
This concept is so wonderful. And before we started talking, I was looking at the list of speakers, many of whom I know who are outstanding in their fields and can really relate to a general audience. This is like having a chance to go back to school, but in a good way, without all the negative side of school. This is all the positive side of school. How did this concept come about? It's such a unique concept of gathering these great scientists who are willing to give of their time to the public.
I think it all originally came from this idea that we need to start being able to present science in a way that everyone can understand. So, I mean, we're not talking about bringing in physicians and biochemists. We're talking about, I mean, we have people from the School of Social Work and philosophy. So just giving people the opportunity to learn about science and how we encounter it every single day in our lives, but in a really easy to understand way. So this isn't a lecture series. This is sitting, you know, at a bar with someone with a beer and them explaining in a very, very easy way what they do and how it impacts your life. So we wanted to bring that to the general public and, you know, bring everything that we do at UK to the city of Lexington.
And then I think to kind of follow up with that, a lot of different, and I'm sure I would imagine this is broadly shared across many disciplines in science, but I know in agriculture for sure, science in the last 20 or 30 years due to various cultural shifts has kind of lost its source of legitimacy, or maybe people question the results of scientific studies and consensuses among scientists in a way that is, I think, fairly new for our society, at least in the last couple hundred years. And there's lots of reasons for that. But I think one big reason is that scientists do a horrible job communicating what we do every day in a way that most people can understand. And that's our fault. That's not, we can't expect people to be able to, you know, understand a scientist talking about our discipline using jargony words and complex
stuff. I was just going to say, yeah. Lou, it's an occupational hazard. You start to throw out all these arcane terms and you can watch people's eyes glaze over.
Oh, and it's the saddest thing because, yeah, I mean, and I'm sure everyone in any area where there's, you know, professional level content or words, you just start talking and yeah, it's just, and you could see it happen and then you lost them. This event is, like you said, it's like the fun parts of school. So there's no tests. Maybe someone will call on you, you know, but you know, we're not going to force any interaction. But it's really all the hands-on stuff that people probably remember from school. Like I think back to all the schooling I had. I can't remember one thing I specifically learned from sitting in a room and just watching someone talk. And these are meant to be really hands-on, really kind of innovative, and allow for a lot of interaction so people will have something to remember when they leave instead of just, oh, I did a science thing on Tuesday night.
I think it's critical what Everything Is Science is doing. You alluded to this, Lou, especially in this day and age where we sometimes lose sight of being fact-based and interpreting facts. I think every day, just as part of my work, that it's not a miracle, it is a function of applied science that I can go to the tap, turn on the water, drink it, and not die. You know, that's something that I'm grateful for, and it's because of applied science. If we're wearing clothes, if we're driving a car, if our children don't die of easily preventable diseases, all these things that we, I think, have taken for granted in the post-war generation that we need to remind ourselves that our lives are intimately intertwined with science.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I, as just one other example for that, I teach a lot of classes here on campus for undergraduates. And in the College of Ag, I'm concerned that students are looking beyond, kind of looking deeper into scenarios and trying to look at the interactions between organisms. And I often ask students in freshman and sophomore level classes, I show them a picture of a pasture or something like that, with a cattle, you know, the cow grazing and a bird flying. And I ask them, you know, tell me as many living organisms as you could identify in this picture. And they always get the cow. They always get the bird. They often get the trees. They never get the bushes. And I've never had one student tell me that grass is a living organism. And it's those little things that we take for granted. We walk on grass, we cut it, we smell it when it's cut, we know it's alive, we have to water it or it dies. We know all these things, but we never make these connections to really like think deeply about our ecosystems or even our cultural environments that we're in.
Is there anything, Lauren and Lou, that we have not touched on that you would want our listeners to know about Everything Is Science?
I mean, it's really, really fun. I know that sounds lame, but it really is. I mean, last year I attended one of the sessions and they did, not interpretive dance, but, they kind of are a group and they play together, and there's just one woman dancing and she was just doing, you know, whatever felt good. And they were explaining how they all three, even though they're not talking, they're connecting and they're playing off each other, and just that science. It was awesome. And then we also had like a real brain one year. Last year we also had people that we're talking about bees and how bees communicate where the food is through their dance. So just stuff like that. It's not anything crazy hardcore science. It doesn't have to be. It's not rigid or anything like that. So I think it's a really good opportunity for people to come in and open their minds to the fact that everything is science.
And then for a specific example for this year, and I'll give a selfish plug for the evening that I'm partially in charge of. But on Wednesday, the theme is Red and White at the Campus Pub, which is on Waller Avenue, kind of in between Nicholasville and Harrodsburg Road. And the first three talks are half an hour each, so from 6 to 7:30. Ms. Shauna Morgan, Dr. Shauna Morgan, is going to talk about how the color red influences different aspects of African art and culture. So a very kind of deep dive into that sort of mindset and that idea. We'll take a few minute break, and then my half of the evening from 7:30 to 9 are going to be three speakers looking at the color white. And whereas Shauna went very deep into her subject, I'm more of a breadth kind of guy. So I invited two scientists from the Department of Psychology who are going to be looking at, I think their theme is White as a Sheet, the Science of Fear and Anxiety. So they do a lot of OCD and anxiety-based therapies. So they'll talk to people about all the various anxieties that we all have that influence our behavior, but people probably don't think about. And Dr. Nick Teets from the Department of Entomology is a internationally renowned researcher who works with the only native species of insect to live in Antarctica. I think it's called the Antarctic midge. So he's looking at these cool insects that can deal with living in Antarctica, in Antarctica, which is a really, tough place to be. And then last, Mr. David Butts, who works for an institutional equity organization here on campus, to talk about white bias and how that impacts science for sure, but also employment. And the practice of science throughout the university. As Lauren said, each event runs from 7 to 9 p.m. There's six sessions, three half-hour sessions on the first color of the evening and three half-hour sections on the second color. Monday is the color black and white at Rock House. Tuesday is purple-green at Creo, although I lived in Louisiana for a long time, and I think it should be pronounced Crew, but I didn't make the restaurant. Wednesday is red and white at Campus Pub. Thursday is yellow-blue at West 6 Brewing on 6th Street. And Friday's rainbow at Pivot Brewing, the cidery. The event runs from February 24th, a Monday, to February 28th, a Friday. And we would just love to have people come. As Lauren said, it's family-friendly. These are at bars, but there's also food there. They're not going to card, children to come in. We want this to be a family experience. Sure. And come and go, no entrance fees. We just want it to be an open, relaxed environment for science.
My thanks today to Dr. Lou Hirsch of the College of Agriculture, Food, and Environment, and graduate student in the College of Pharmacy, Lauren Weaver, for talking with me about Lexington's Everything is Science Festival. For more information, visit our website at wuky.org. With health news you can use, I'm Dr. Greg Davis on Medicine.
Dr. Greg Davis is a forensic pathologist at the University of Kentucky who volunteers his time to cover important medical news for our community. This program is available as a podcast at wuky.org.